Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church, Colorado Springs. We're glad to have you worshiping with us today, and we thank you for helping us honor God's name. Whether you're joining us in person or through Facebook, we're blessed by your presence. For those of you worshiping with us in person, we would ask that you sign the burgundy attendance folder that's found on the pew closest to the inner aisle. If you are new to the church, please give us a way to contact you. And for those of you who are worshiping with us on Facebook, please let us know that you are present by making a comment in the comments part of Facebook. Please stand as you're able and join us in our call to worship. Children of God, welcome.
Welcome to this place of
hope and perseverance.
God invites all of us to be part of the beloved community.
God invites all of us to share in the good news.
We are welcome just as we are. We are loved just as we are.
In gratitude for all of this, let us worship God. Join us in our opening hymn, number 214, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Glorious God, in this time of winter and darkness, give us your light. Fill us with the abundance of your love. Hold us close in your arms. Open our ears to your voice, our lives to your action, our hearts and minds to your call. In the wilderness of our world, send us a messenger of your love. Amen. So we have quite, if y'all want to be seated now, I have quite a few announcements, so I'm going to try and make them as quickly as possible. First, in terms of our prayers, joys, and concerns, we're so glad that Greg Hawk has recovered or is recovering from his surgery. He's home now and doing well. Please continue to pray for those with health concerns. And those have been listed in your prayers, joys, and concerns newsletter. They include Chuck Haley, Ray Killiam, Glenn Tomlinson, Katie Jolson Tullis, Mario Bucillis, Pam Mullen's granddaughter, Andrea, Sally Maxwell's daughter, Janice, and Jimmy Osborne. Please continue to pray also for Chris Long and for his family. So, other announcements that we want to make. First of all, we had our wonderful prelude today from our flute choir. So all of our service music today is being played by the flute choir, and the choir is conducted by Phyllis White, and the choir is playing for us today in appreciation for First Christian Church's support of music in our community. So welcome. And we are so glad to have y'all with us today. All right, now, our Make a Joyful Space to the Lord campaign. Angie, you can see, is in the back. She's got the whiteboard with her or right at the back. And there is also a suggestion box at the back of the church. So this is, with a suggestion box, you can help us by telling us things that you know in particular about objects within the church. You can tell us if you'd like to help us inventory special sections of the building. You can designate items as having special interest or things that we really ought to know about a particular item. You can give us something to add to our BOLO list. So BOLO is be on the lookout for. We have a BOLO list on the whiteboard. It's going to be updated regularly. So if you know something that we need to be looking for because of the special meaning, please be sure and add it to the BOLO list, but also walk by and look at that list and say, oh, I know something about this. I know someone who would really appreciate this, or I know the person who gave this. I know where to find this. Give us all the help you can, and if Angie or I are not around, that suggestion box is there so that it's written and we don't forget what you said to us. Our conversations that matter are going to return next Sunday after church. We'll be discussing what we want to take with us and what we want to leave behind. So we're not just talking about physical things. Stacy is going to be leading us in discussions to talk about traditions, perspectives, attitudes, habits, ruts. So we'll talk about all of it. What do we want to take with us, and what do we leave behind? So that's next Sunday, right after church, in the parlor. We'll have that conversation. And then the last thing that I want to talk to you about is the stars. So Nancy May is in the back in the foyer with your little star envelope if you've not picked up your star envelope. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is an envelope that has a little star in it. The star was created by our new pastor, Monica Banks, who will be coming in April. But she took a list of the members of the church, prayed over that list, and identified a word that is special for you. And this word is something we'd like for you to take, post somewhere in your home or your car where you'll see it all the time, and it will be a reminder for you to focus on that word in the coming year and what that word has for you in terms of your spiritual development or your relationship with the church. So if you have not yet picked up your star, be sure and talk to Nancy after the service about the star. So now, if you would join us in passing of the peace.
Good morning. Oh, neat. Who was that masked kid, we wondered? Now we know. We've come to church to talk about all our stuff. Have you ever thought about that, that we talk about stuff when we're in church? Some people say we're here to talk about God. But we bring our stuff. The things that we had all week long, the troubles that we had all week long, the ideas we have for next week, the things that we get in our life, our food, our rest, our family, we bring our stuff to church. And when we're in church, we see other people and they have their stuff. And we might even say, how's it going? And they're going to talk about their stuff. And it doesn't have to be material. Sometimes it's how you feeling. And we talk and we share and we go home and we do God's work because we're God's children. So now we could pray and say, thank you, God, for all the stuff that you bring to us. Amen.
Amen.
Have fun.
Last night, you were in my dream.
Oh, really?
Cool.
He's a dreamboat.
I wish I could move that fast. Join me in prayer this morning. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day that you provided for us. Father, we thank you for the rise in temperatures that have made it a little more comfortable to get out. But Lord, we have heard those who are in need of prayer this morning. We give you praise for answered prayer of those who have been healed and those who are on their way to mending, Lord. But we know that there are those that were mentioned today and those in our hearts and in our minds that we individually are caring for and praying for. And so, Lord, we come today just asking that you would hear our prayers, that you would touch those who are in need of healing, that you would be with those who are traveling and give them safe passage to and from, that you would just watch over each of us, Lord, as we go through our day-to-day each week, that we may be a beacon of light to someone else. And Lord, we ask for those who are in this community in need of your son Jesus. We just pray that you would open their eyes, Father, open their hearts and their minds to receive the good news that you have for them. And in a world that is so torn apart with and divided in many ways, Father, we ask that you would be the healing hand that would bring peace and bring unity among us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. And thank you for your Son, who taught us to pray your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
From the book of Psalms, chapter 62, verses 5 through 12. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances, they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no confidence in extortion, and get no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord, for you repay to all according to their work.
Thank you. Thank you. That was lovely. We're reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. And after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. And without delay, he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. As a little background to what we just read, John the Baptist had come out of the wilderness and was preaching and teaching the children of Israel, calling upon them to repent. Repent and believe in the good news. The kingdom of God was coming near. And he told them there was going to be another who would be coming, whose sandals that he couldn't even carry. He wasn't qualified. And all of a sudden, Jesus is on the scene. Jesus comes to the river where John is baptizing and asks him to baptize him. John refuses because he doesn't feel qualified. And Jesus says, no, you must. You must baptize me. I have to be baptized. And he does, and we have for probably the first time in the New Testament an occasion where God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all showed up at the same time. Jesus is then taken into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights where he is tempted, tried, but he didn't break. And after this 40 days, he finds himself in Galilee. John has been taken into prison. Jesus is now walking along the Sea of Galilee when he sees the boats. But when he comes into Galilee, he has this message that is very familiar. Jesus says, repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God has come near. The same words of John. The same words that these people have been hearing, and John had been telling them somebody else was coming, even greater, and now Jesus comes with the same words, proclaiming the same message, and the people had to believe. This is that one we've been waiting for. This is the Messiah. And now he's walking along the seashore and he calls upon Peter and he calls upon Andrew to leave their boats and follow me. And it says without hesitation, they step out of the boat. He then sees James and John, the son of Zebedee, and they get out of their boat. He calls them, follow me. And without hesitation, he gets out of the boat. And they follow. Now I want us to think about that just for a minute because, you know, it sounds pretty simple. Jesus is walking by. He says, follow me. And they get out of the boat. They just start following. Well, first of all, they didn't know Jesus that well. Why would they follow him? Yeah. I'm sure they've heard the stories. Andrew heard the stories. He heard the stories from John the Baptist. When Jesus was walking by and John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And he goes and tells Peter. It was what John had set up before that prepared them for Jesus' coming, but still, they didn't know him that well. Not to get out of a boat that was their livelihood. You know, we don't stop to think that these guys are... We often hear that these disciples of Christ were these poor fishermen. But let's think about what they really were. They may not have been they weren't the aristocrats of the day, and they weren't probably the most lucrative of people of the day, but they were the businessmen of the day. That was the way they made their living. That was the way that they provided for their families. They caught these fish. They took them home. Yes, they ate a few of themselves, but they sold them in the marketplace. They sold them to tradesmen. They dealt with other people. And some of them were a little more lucrative than others because we hear the sons of Zebedee, when they step out of the boat, they left not just the father behind, but they left the hired men behind. And we know the Zebedee had more than one boat out on that lake. So they left everything. They left all that would have provided for the family, provided for themselves. But more than that, they left everything they knew. Everything that was the ordinary for them. What they were very familiar with. They left behind to follow Jesus, all because he says, "Follow me." As I was considering that, I was thinking about this idea of call. You know, we often hear of people being called into ministry. Isn't that what Jesus was doing that day? He was calling them, calling upon them to follow him. This call, a lot of times we think of it in the context of formal ministry. I was called to be a pastor. I didn't come seeking that position. It was probably the furthest thing from my mind. But when I was called, I knew I had to go. But before I was called to be a pastor, I was called to minister where I was at, in the workplace. I didn't have to carry a Bible into the workplace. I started in a foundry, and then I went to the power plant and worked there. And I didn't have to carry a Bible in. I had to carry those scriptures in my heart, and people began to realize that there was something there. There was something more. I was a Christian. It's funny how when that happens around the break table, all of a sudden there's people gathered who are discussing scripture because God's word has a way. It's like a magnet. It just draws us together, those who are believers. Then there were those times when there were people that I was, men and women that I was working with, who were having problems at home. They were troubled. And they would come and they'd say, "You know, I know you're a Christian. You need to, but I'm having some trouble in my life. I'm having trouble with my..." And it was those times that I was able to point them to Jesus and say, "Here's where we begin." Here's where it all begins. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Begin to read these scriptures. Learn them. And apply them in your life. And you'll find the answers to those problems you have in this world. And those times when I was in a 4160 breaker room praying with another individual who is broken. And it's not just me. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He calls us to follow, wherever that may be. If we learn anything from the lesson today, we learn that these fishermen in their boats that day weren't expecting to be leaving those boats to follow Jesus that day. We don't know when Jesus is going to come and say, "Follow me." But we know it could be any time of the day or night. It could be in any location. It doesn't have to be in the sanctuary of the church. It could be on the street corner. And so are some people. It may even be in a bar. But Jesus calls and says, "Follow." And I guess the question is, are we prepared to do that? Are we prepared to, like these disciples here, leave everything that we know and follow? Sometimes it may be to those faraway places where we might be called into the mission fields. Or it may just be to follow Him and be a missionary to your family and your home. Where is it that Jesus has called you? Because I know that if you miss that call or refuse that call, and I believe there's been times when I have turned my back and not really been where I wanted to be, where God wanted me to be, where Jesus wanted me to be, that there's a burden. I don't know how many of you have ever watched any of the program that they put out called The Chosen. And I've only seen little segments here and there as I just stumble into it on occasion. And a lot of times, you know, they try to stay pretty close to what Scripture says, but they kind of add to it, you know. They try to make it, they try to fill in the gaps, I guess you'd say. And there was, I did happen to stumble across the one where Jesus is having his conversation with Nicodemus. And in Scripture, we don't really know what happens there. He tells Nicodemus, he says, you know, you got to be born again. And Nicodemus doesn't quite understand that. And he says, "Oh, you mean I need to re-enter the womb?" And he goes, "I don't know how I could do that." But in The Chosen, they go on and they have this conversation where Nicodemus is really leaning into Jesus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, but he sees what Jesus is doing, and he knows there's something about this man. There's something more here. And Jesus says, "Come and follow me." And Nicodemus is struggling with that because he's got his wife at home who wants to keep things the way they are. And he's got his position as a Pharisee that he does not want to, I guess, put on the line. Or perhaps just walk away from completely. But Jesus says, I'm going to be leaving soon with my disciples. And I ask, why don't you come with us and follow me? And when it all came down to it, in this scene from the Chosen, we see Nicodemus hiding behind a wall. He left money out there for them to take for their journey. But he did not go with them, but he was so torn, he was in tears. We are all called. We have all been born with a purpose. And when we come to know that Jesus Christ, he puts that purpose in play. Have we followed it? Are we willing to take the move? Or are we going to be left in tears, knowing that we should have moved, we should have followed, we should have gone ahead and relinquished what God had for us? There's not much more to be said today. I think we all could be considering, am I following Jesus as he has called me? Have I listened, heard? Did I leave the boat? Or did I turn my back and row out to sea? I encourage you to listen and to respond. God has a place for you. We read in another chapter in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 24 through 27, where it says, "And then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, follow me.'" Not as easy a passage as what it sounds like. Follow me. And they jump out of the boat. Sounds easy. Apply it to our lives. It's difficult. It's hard. And I know I've failed at it time after time. But my hope is that I've followed more than I have stayed put. I'd planned to end with a song today. I don't think I will, because we've got this beautiful, I don't want to take away from what these folks are doing. The interesting thing is, I was sitting here earlier listening to them play, and I never knew there was that many different flutes, to be honest with you. I always saw one. But how you put one out there and it makes a beautiful noise, but then you join others around, and it gets even more beautiful. And I put that into an orchestra, and it gets even greater. Isn't that kind of what Jesus was doing here when he calls us and he calls the disciples? It was interesting that the first thing Jesus did when he began his ministry, he went out and called others to join him. Our walk with Christ is not, we're not called to be lone wolves. We're called to come together. That's why the importance of church. That's why it's important for us to gather together. We encourage one another. Sometimes we have to challenge one another. But Jesus knew that. He called some disciples who were very diverse. Some who probably wouldn't have got along, especially when he called that Matthew. You know, this tax collector is no good. But you know, between all those disciples, they made beautiful music together. Music that has survived through the ages as we are reminded that it is Jesus Christ, the price that he paid for our lives, the love of God that sent him. And he says, follow me and die. Amen.
Join us in our communion hymn number 408, Come Share the Lord.
We come to this table today as an invitation to commune with God. Anyone is welcome to partake communion with us. As Jesus was eating, and at Passover, he said, "This is my body, take it in remembrance of me," when he took the bread and broke it. Likewise, he took a cup and he said, "This is my blood of forgiveness shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, we will be doing communion with our bread and wine.
Join me in prayer. God, in whom we live, move, and find our very being, we as followers of the way of Jesus are thankful for the invitation to follow him. We are thankful for his life and his teachings that point us to a better understanding of you and what we may be. We are thankful that we are assured there is nothing we can do that will separate us from your love. We remember that we are challenged to be servants to those around us. We remember the charge that we should love you, ourselves, and even those we consider as other. In this communion service, we remember that the bread and juice are symbols of the new relationship with you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Today is a day to rejoice. Zoanne and Kathy have worked very hard together and have created for us a manageable budget, which Zoanne shared with us last week at our town hall. But just as in our personal lives, a budget's not enough. The budget has to be funded. So our income needs have to be addressed. Our budget includes staff salaries, upkeep on the building, utilities, and supplies. And then, of course, most importantly, it includes a tithe of our offerings. 10% of the gifts that have been given to the church go to missions and outreach. So give joyfully this year so that God's ministry can be done. With me. Lord God, make us true stewards of your bounty. Where there is a need, let us see it. Where there is abundance, let us share it. Where there is time, let us spend it. And where there is treasure, let us use it for your glory. Amen. So as we come to the end of our service, we have an opportunity to share our call. If you would like to come forward and do that, let's sing our closing hymn, number 433, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.
And now may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and give you peace as you beckon to his call to follow this coming week. Amen.
Thank you.